Hey everybody, welcome into the Cyclone Scoop. I'm Alex Halstead, joined on this episode by Dylan Montz of the Ames Tribune. And Dylan, we just wrapped up Big 12 Media Days. Heard from Iowa State coach Matt Campbell and several players. It feels like it's officially football season now. I think this kind of is what begins it, even though fall camp is still a couple weeks out.
Yeah, I don't think any coach that got up on the podium at AT&T Stadium, none of them are not looking forward to the season. They're all excited. Everything's good. Summer's over. They're ready to get back into it. And that's kind of the same for us, I guess. We're going to go full bore now. And, you know, preseason camp's going to be here before we know it, too.
Yeah, new West Virginia coach Neil Brown probably said it best. He was asked why West Virginia fans are so happy with him, why he's got so much fanfare and love from them so far. And he said, well, he hasn't lost any football games yet. And that's kind of the thing here. It's almost like spring training in baseball. The teams have hope. Same with Big 12 Media Days. All 10 teams are 0-0. Everything's great right now as they begin fall camp. But there's still expectations for various teams. And Iowa State faces high expectations. They were picked third in the Big 12 preseason poll. But Matt Campbell didn't have much interest in talking about that. And his players are pretty on point, too. They have basically said they've tuned out outside noise. And whether or not you believe that, I do kind of believe it a little bit more than maybe I believe some of those things in the past. Because you know, they see the things, and you had a funny story from Josh Kniffel, but for the most part, I think Campbell keeps them pretty well grounded.
Yeah, Josh Kniffel was talking about preseason expectations and how you try to tune that out, and he's like, yeah, you know, as an athlete, you gotta, otherwise, you know, you'll kind of lose sight of maybe what's at the end of the road. But he said his mom will send him clips and articles and videos and kind of what people are saying. He's like, you know what, thanks, Mom, that's great, you know, awesome, appreciate it, but, you know, he can't look into it too much, just because, again, you start reading too much, you look into it too much, and things can go sideways. So Marcel Spears said as much as well, and Matt Campbell, obviously, it's coming from the top down, but they're getting their seniors and their, you know, most veteran or most important players to kind of relay that message as well to the rest of the guys.
Campbell was on point. We talked to him before he took the stage, and he got asked, you know, what do you think about projections? And he said not to be rude to probably us, because, you know, the media is what votes for these preseason polls, but that he doesn't really care, and that if Iowa State would have paid attention to expectations in 2016, that the program probably would have crumbled, which he probably has a valid point in the sense that in 2016 and 2017, they were voted ninth, and one of the years, 2016, they finished there, but to be able to overcome those expectations, you probably can't pay much attention to everybody telling you you're going to lose a lot, and vice versa. Now flip the script. If Iowa State's going to finish third, they probably aren't going to do any good by listening to people tell them how good they are, especially with a middle of the pack of the conference that I think is pretty talented, or at least could be pretty good and pretty competitive. So he told us that, went up to the podium. He got asked it, not surprisingly, and it was pretty much the same answer. So he's on script with that, and I think it's pretty real. I don't think he's ever gotten too much caught up in the hype, because even after some of these games, a big win, I remember, I don't know if it was TCU or whatever, when they had that big upset, and he came in, and you would have not been able to tell during the press conference that they won, and there's been a couple tough losses for them, obviously, too, and he's pretty even keel then, too. So I just think that's kind of how he is. He's not too high or low based on how things go or what people say.
And that's kind of what he said before. I remember, I can't remember if it was after a game or maybe a news conference. Somebody asked him about his personality and kind of how he tries to go about things. And, you know, whether he's talking about it, you know, in a game, obviously your emotions are going to get heated at times and you're going to kind of get ramped up. But he's like, he always tries to think to check himself because the guys are always looking at him. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, players are going to look to when things are good or bad, whatever example he gives. You know, if he gets too emotional or if he's, you know, too stoic, guys are going to kind of buy into that and maybe follow suit. So he always tries to play it kind of down the middle of the road and how he talks about things, and certainly, you know, preseason expectations and, you know, whatever kind of hype people are putting on him, he's, you know, he's going to kind of be neutral and cut through that as well.
They might not like to or care to talk about expectations, but we can, and kind of goes same with the depth chart of Campbell says he basically puts it out every week because he has to. I think that's the same for a lot of coaches. They put these out on paper. I'm sure players see them, but the message internally tends to probably be, if you're not on there, if you're not where you want to be, then prove it, you know, in practice. And this depth chart could change a lot, but let's just dive into it a little bit. We'll go down both sides. We won't spend a lot of time on all of them because, as we'll get into here, a lot of it is pretty similar to what either what we expected or what the Alamo Bowl was, which I think, do you think that's probably a good thing that the fewer surprises on a depth chart, because we haven't got one since before the Alamo Bowl, the fewer surprises to me is probably a good thing for a college football program because it either A, means you're returning a lot, so those guys just kind of assume the same roles, or you are having guys step up. I mean, there are battles here, but I think that's a positive that not a ton surprised us today.
Yeah, the fact that the front seven on defense, except for the third linebacker spot, which we knew would have to be someone different, the fact that that's all the same, the fact that you have the same quarterback is a huge deal. The fact that, you know, at least for right now, the offensive line has all five starters back, four of which are seniors. It's huge. I think it's probably it is a little bit comforting or reassuring. And there were still things that were noteworthy, obviously, and we'll go down and talk about all of those. But the fact that, you know, between the end of last season and spring, we could kind of piece some of that together and just kind of almost have a default of knowing who's going to be where is a big deal and something that as you build a program and as you get farther along, that's what you hope it is.
So no surprise at quarterback. Brock Purdy's clearly the guy. I don't think anybody had any doubt about that. We all also knew probably basically that Rial Mitchell was the backup. Everything we had heard in spring ball is that, hey, he's got to prepare to be the number two guy. No John Kohler on there, but I think he's clearly the number three, and maybe I would say it's hoping that he can push in and at least push Rial Mitchell, both so Rial Mitchell gets better, but also that makes them a little bit deeper there. That's probably the biggest key to the season is Brock Purdy's health, because I don't think they're nearly as good after him. Not to say Rial Mitchell can't be good, but you just don't know what he can do. But Campbell did say, I think, that they do feel like Mitchell's taking a step.
Yeah, I think so too. They've really worked him more as a true quarterback. Last year, he was talked about as this special package guy, the Blaze package, as kind of a nod to his mom who was on American Gladiators, and just not used as a gimmick because that's maybe sounds a little bit, you know, sideways. But I think more so as just kind of an off speed kind of shake it up type of guy. But now they really are having him kind of, you know, be a pocket guy, really kind of sit back, make decisions, take off if you need to, certainly, because he is a great runner, but really kind of try to perfect what the quarterback spot is and what they ask him to do. But, you know, Brock Purdy's the guy. Rial Mitchell right now is the number two. And then John Kohler, I think, like you mentioned, could be in the mix. And, you know, Iowa State's proven to show you can never have too many.
Running back is the biggest question on probably the offensive side of the ball. Were you surprised that they listed five guys as either or, and then Matt Campbell, you know, went up to the podium and said, this is a five-man competition, or did you think they would have narrowed it down by now?
Yeah, I pictured there being a couple at least, you know, maybe putting the freshmen, you know, toward the bottom just because they're brand new. I mean, Breece Hall was here in the spring and got those reps, which was big, but Jirel Brock got here in the summer. And there's still a lot of unknown to them, I guess. But I would have maybe thought they would have put Kanane Wongu and Sheldon Crony as the one and two guy. But, you know, overall, not necessarily really surprising because of the limited number of opportunities that they've gotten in the past. You know, Kanane Wongu, he started the game against Texas last year, right?
Yeah, right.
And then Johnny Lang started against Oklahoma State last year. One of them was when Montgomery was hurt. The other one was when he was suspended for a half after the Baylor game. But really, it's been tough for anybody else other than Montgomery or Brock Purdy as the quarterback when he takes off to run to really get a lot of reps. So the fact that they're kind of opening it up to all five guys isn't necessarily you know, surprising, but it is noteworthy because it's something that they'll kind of have to figure out as preseason camp goes along.
Yeah. Crony, I think, has 54 career carries. Kanane Wongu has 66 and Johnny Lang has 26. So they combine for just, I think, over like 140 carries total. So that's not very many. So it's not like you're bringing back some workhorse that's proven it. Now, Matt Campbell, like he said, they've each shown a little flashes. You know, Kene Nwangwu showed a few flashes, I think, even in the Alamo Bowl. Johnny Lang against Baylor, when Montgomery left in that second half, he came in and did a few things. Cronies had chances against, like, K-State a couple years ago and different times. But the big question at running back is who can do a little bit of everything. I asked Matt Campbell if he was interested in entertaining the idea of a running back by committee or if he thought it might get to that point. And he didn't completely say no, but he said they need to find a guy who can do all three things and that be that X factor that when they get in a clutch situation that guy is, they know that's the guy. And so it's a five-man race. Breece Hall and Gyro Brock, the two true freshmen, are included in that. Four-star guys that physically look ready. When you see them up close, they have the bodies, but can they put it all together where they can run the ball, catch the ball in the backfield, and block is maybe the biggest thing, the third component of that. Matt Campbell wants to see all three things, and maybe they'll find out by the end of August, but he left the door open that this could take a few games as well.
Yeah, it's not going to be something probably that you figure out game one against Northern Iowa. It'll probably be a thing where you feel it out a little bit. You put some guys in different situations and really kind of see who can do all three of those things. And, you know, Campbell had talked about who's going to get the ball when it's third and one inside the five, when you need a score or you need a first down. They need a guy that, like Montgomery, can just find a way to get yards. And, you know, having Purdy there as another weapon is big, but in the offensive line's progression is obviously huge there too, because they can kind of alleviate some of the pressure on those younger guys or the less experienced guys. But you know, they're gonna have to fight for themselves too. So who can be the most complete guy is kind of what Matt Campbell and the staff are after.
Moving on to tight end, Chase Allen and Charlie Kohler listed either or as a starting tight end. No surprise there. That's what basically they were listed all last season. They'll probably be listed either or for the entire 2019 season. It's probably going to depend what kind of they start with in terms of play and scheme. Both of those guys are going to play a ton, and if they're both healthy, there's a chance there'll be a lot of double tight sets. I think they ran that more than 40% of the time last year, and that could see an uptick this year. Dylan Sainer at the F. I think he'll play a lot, but he'll also probably do more than Sam Seenbuckner. You know, Seenbuckner was kind of that blocker, but Sainer, I think, can catch out of the backfield. And they've even discussed maybe getting rid of the F, I think, at times and just calling them all tight ends, because Sainer can also flex out wide even at 270 pounds. So anything to add at either of those positions, or do you just want to move into the next big question at wide receiver?
Yeah, I think tight end's pretty set. So wide receiver is we can go into a little bit deeper.
So we talked about running back. That's obviously the one question. The next big question is wide receiver. And that's no surprise, because Iowa State loses David Montgomery to the Chicago Bears and Hakeem Butler to the Arizona Cardinals. So anytime you lose two of your best players to the NFL, especially early, you're going to have questions to answer and holes to fill. So that's why there's a five-man race at running back. At receiver, there's a little bit more clarity because you got DeShonte Jones and Tariq Milton coming back as your clear 1-2 punch. But in the last several seasons, Iowa State's had five or six guys with 20-plus catches, and so somebody's got to step up. We skimmed over tight end, maybe Charlie Kohler and Chase Allen step up, but guys have to step up at receiver, and they left things pretty wide open in terms of who that's going to be. They need to find a starter at Z, but even beyond that, it's not even just that. It's almost like who else can step up, because they have some other either-ors even at the backup for the X position.
Yeah, for X, they have Joe Skates and Darren Wilson. Joe Skates is a redshirt freshman. Darren Wilson's just coming in from Butler Community College. So those guys are, you know, going to be new first time. There's some unknown there. Landon Akers has moved into the M behind DeShonte Jones, so that's going to be interesting. But at the Z, it's Sean Shaw Jr., Jalen Martin, and LaMichael Petway. And Sean Shaw is still a young guy. Obviously, Jalen Martin has gotten in there at times, but never really anything sustainable. And then LaMichael Petway was the leading receiver at Arkansas last year and came in as a graduate transfer. So it's just trying to find the bodies who can go up and make a play. And Petway is kind of a big body and did that a ton, you know, on an Arkansas team that struggled last year. But, you know, who can kind of be the complement to DeShonte Jones, Tariq Milton? You know, maybe that's where you see the tight ends a little bit more, like you mentioned. But, you know, they're going to need a few guys to kind of come in and kind of create a little bit more balance in the passing game.
Yeah, I'm not shocked to see LaMichael Petway in a battle because I didn't necessarily think Matt Campbell would just automatically anoint him the starter at Z. But I expect Petway to kind of be that guy that emerges. He's a veteran. He's, like you said, proven it at the SEC level. 30 catches, 499 yards, 4 touchdowns last season on a 2-win Arkansas team that didn't have great quarterback play. So you put him with Brock Purdy, who I think you talked to Petway this summer, and they spent a lot of time together, right? I mean, I think I saw they were at, like, B-dubs together. So they're getting that connection going, and that never hurts either.
Yeah, Brock Purdy, you know, Petway had told me Brock Purdy, during the recruiting process, he was one of the guys he eyed the most in terms of what would make Iowa State attractive. And there was certainly offensive similarities. He saw how they used Akeem Butler. Tom Manning was a big selling point in his return. Matt Campbell, obviously, you know, is a draw, but having stability at the quarterback spot with a guy like Purdy, and not even just what he can do on the field, but some of his intangibles and the way people talk about him and what he's like in the locker room and things like that are really big selling points. But that's what it takes. Is it takes kind of like the offensive line for them to kind of come together. It takes familiarity. And that's the same with quarterbacks and wide receivers. They got to be on the same page.
Yeah, so I do think ultimately LaMichael Petway probably emerges and wins that Z spot. But that doesn't mean Sean Shaw and Joe Skates and Darren Wilson and Landon Akers and Jalen Martin, a couple of those guys can still emerge too, because even if Petway's a starter alongside Milton at the X and DeShonte Jones at the M, that's three guys. And so you're still going to need another couple or another trio that's going to catch a good number of passes. And so those young guys are going to have a chance to show up. Matt Campbell said that Darren Wilson is maybe the fastest person on the team or at receiver. That's saying something when you're bringing in Darren Porter, a true freshman from Bettendorf that's obviously a state champion in the 400 and really good 100-meter runner. You have Landon Akers, who's been one of the fastest players on the team. Mm-hmm. So if Wilson's even in that company, that's a 6'3 body that can run fast. So that's just a lot of guys that can come in and do something, but Matt Campbell was pretty clear that they have to prove something because none of them have done much so far because they've had Hakeem Butler and Matt Eaton in front of them. And I think my biggest question, more so than that, is like, who can you go to on third downs? Who can you go to in the red zone? That's probably the biggest question they probably have to answer beyond just who steps up, because some of these guys are going to step up. People always step up. That's just kind of how college football works.
Yeah, and you can figure a little bit of that out in preseason camp, but they're going to need game reps too. It just, you know, Matt Campbell, he said it a bunch of times. You know, you got to have the lights on, you got to have the people in the stands, you got to, you know, be playing at night, but I guess they won't be in the season opener. So whatever, just any sort of those things to really make it feel real. You know, that's what it's going to take to really kind of sort out maybe what that could look like mid-season.
Then rounding out the offense is the offensive line. We don't have to spend much time on this because it's the same group that we saw in spring ball, both in terms of the ones and the twos. It's the exact same starting five that started the last 11 games of the season. Obviously, that includes the Alamo Bowl. Four of those five guys are seniors, and they have a lot of career experience. You mentioned having proven it. This group has proven it, at least in terms of having experience. I think they feel like they've got to take another step and especially prove themselves as run blockers. But that's a pretty good group just in terms of experience, and they've got guys pushing them behind them. I talked to Matt Campbell and said, you don't have any either ors, any battles listed on your depth chart. What do you think about young guys pushing them? And he said, there's definitely going to be competition. And he kind of reiterated a couple times, especially Trevor Downing would be a name to watch. So I think Downing is still pushing at maybe that left guard position. I don't know. I'm not saying Colin Olsen obviously was there for a reason for 11 games too, but it sounds like Trevor Downing's at least on the heels of some of those guys. And Joey Ramos was the other name he mentioned too, but he kind of reiterated Downing a second time. So maybe that is the starting five as we talk here in Dallas or Arlington, but there's still competition, and I think that's a good thing in a program.
And specifically with the offensive line and how tough that is to rebuild that position. That's probably more than any other position. That's the one Matt Campbell and even some of the players have been the most blunt about. Matt Campbell, I think, had called it the Achilles heel at times in the past. A lot of that is just kind of, you know, what they had when they came into the program. Jake Campos was maybe their top offensive lineman. back at the end of the 2015 season. You know, and it's a slow build to kind of get it ready to compete, you know, with the likes of Texas and Oklahoma and some of those schools that really kind of produce big dudes in the trenches. And I think they're getting closer and having competitions, even if it's from young guys. That's only, you're going to find your best guys that way. And that's what you're after.
So that wraps up the offense. Let's switch to defense, which should go quicker because it's about as expected, not a lot of surprises and not a lot of position battles on the defensive side. If you're looking at this whole depth chart as a whole, the questions in the battles are primarily on the offensive side at running back and at receiver, the two positions where they lose two of their stars. But since they return so much on defense, a lot of those spots are already kind of taken, or at least they go into camp without theoretically many questions. And that begins up front. The front seven, they list four defensive linemen, even though they play just three. That front seven, six of the seven spots are the exact same as the Alamo Bowl depth chart, pretty much. I mean, Zach Peterson replaces Spencer Benton, who graduated. But beyond that, it's basically what we knew and saw from last season. The one question is the Sam linebacker spot, but Will McDonald is listed at number one, and fellow redshirt freshman Chandler Pulvermacher is listed at number two. Now, I didn't get the sense from Campbell that that's decided, but at least for now, it looks like Will McDonald will fill out that third linebacker spot, and that's really in the front seven about the only thing that stood out to me when we got the depth chart.
Yeah, to kind of hedge maybe our bets a little bit, you know, I think Will McDonald will be the starter. They didn't put an or there for a reason, and that's not to say things can't change, but he was a guy that had his name come up quite a bit in the spring. He obviously showed up on the field last year and made some pretty big plays, specifically in that TCU game. But I think the fact that so much of, like, kind of like what we talked about at the top, the fact that so much of that looks the same from what it did a year ago is encouraging, and that's what you'd hope for. You're finally at a point on the defensive line where you can go and kind of maybe start to impose your will a little bit. Jaquan Bailey is another year older and is supposed to be playing the best football of his career. Ray Lima, healthy and going to be ready to go. And any Iwazurike, I think, has really emerged and been kind of a key end cap to that. And then the linebacking core, they've really found something with Spears and Rose and either Will McDonald or Pulvermacher. But they feel really solid about that group, and that's encouraging given maybe some of the questions that they have in the back end.
Yeah, two thoughts for me is, one, when talking about Will McDonald in particular, I think the interesting thing is that he's obviously a defensive end that's moving to linebacker. I asked Campbell what point they thought he could be a linebacker, you know, recruitment or anything. He said they didn't really know if he could play linebacker until midway through spring ball. And he said there's still questions that he's got to still maybe figure out some things in coverage, because that's a learning curve. You're not covering guys when you're playing D end. And so he's never done that before. But if he can figure out some of those things in coverage, they think he could be a really good outside linebacker. We've talked about this before, but the fact that he's played defensive end allows them to move into a four-man front if they want. Matt Campbell used the word multiplicity, both with that and when you talk about tight end. So multiplicity is one of his kind of go-to phrases, and it's something he likes to do on both sides of the ball. And McDonald could provide that option for them. But then the second thing was just that front seven. When your backup defensive line is Zach Peterson, Jamal Johnson, and Matt Leo, things are looking pretty good in terms of your depth. And so that's a lot of experience up front, and that's definitely the strength of this defense, but probably also the team, is just that front seven on defense, front six. I'm not really sure what to go with because they run a 3-3, five, but they list four defensive linemen, so
we'll stick with front seven. It's kind of easier, what everybody
it's
uses.
More common. So, but yeah, in terms of that, those first two levels of your defense, those look like they're going to be pretty good. The question is probably the secondary, and that's not to say they don't have talent back there. You obviously return Greg Eisworth, but do you agree that the secondary is probably what stands out most when you look at the depth chart or look at the defense?
Yeah, definitely. And you got to feel really good about Greg Eisworth. He was the Big 12 Defensive Newcomer of the Year last year. He was a first-teamer, really smart kid, physical, solid player. But you're kind of maybe wondering what not only the other starters like, but just what the depth is back there. Datron Young and Anthony Johnson Jr. are the starters at corner, which isn't a surprise because those are the guys that kind of had emerged, you know, not just in spring ball, but late last year, playing opposite of Brian Peavy. And they'd kind of started for each other as, you know, Datron Young got hurt and Anthony Johnson had to come in. And, you know, but so they both got experience and you feel good maybe about what they are. But what that depth looks like is kind of a question mark because it's unproven. You know, a couple of the safety spots are up for grabs, especially, you know, interestingly enough, you know, Braxton Lewis, Justin Bickham, and Torrey Spears are kind of in a three-way battle, I guess you'd call it. There's a ton of questions back there. And, you know, there's some things you can maybe figure out in camp, but that could be something kind of similar to what the running backs or wide receivers is that plays out into the early stages of the season.
Yeah, Braxton Lewis being in a battle was probably the biggest surprise to me just because he did start all 13 games last year. But Matt Campbell hasn't been shy about saying that competition is good and that, you know, no job is ever safe. Not to say Braxton Lewis has done anything to be in that battle, but I think he just, you know, likes to create that competition. And obviously Justin Bickham coming from Rice, having been a cornerback there, I think started 23 games there. He's got experience, so he can come in and compete. And even if those guys aren't starting, whoever starts, we've seen in college football, you have to have a two deep. Campbell thinks they're as close as they've probably been since he's been at Iowa State to having a two deep in terms of the backup can come in, start, and not have a huge drop off. That's kind of been his goal, is to get two levels of starters. And defensively, that front seven's really close to that. The secondary's got to prove that. And the cornerback thing, I think, was magnified a little bit when we talked to Campbell about which true freshmen have stood out or could play early. And he mentioned cornerbacks Kimani King and DJ Miller. Part of it's because that position just lends to the fact that you can play early in your career. But part of it probably is because that depth at the cornerback position is so much up for grabs. So that's going to be interesting. But I guess the quick overview is that the big questions are running back, wide receiver, probably depth at corner, and then we'll see what happens at the Sam position. But overall, nothing too crazy with this depth chart other than probably the position battles we anticipated.
Yeah, they feel and look a lot more solid maybe roster-wise than they have even in the last several years when they had guys like Keem Butler or David Montgomery returning. You know, those are positions obviously that are going to be vital to, you know, how successful they are. But having stability at quarterback, having stability in the front seven of your defense, having guys that are experienced returning on the offensive line, you know, you're going to need to go find guys at the skill positions to kind of obviously fill out what you can do. But the foundation is maybe a little bit more settled. So I think that's one of the more encouraging things when you look at this depth chart.
You know, we're waiting for football season when we're finishing up Big 12 Media Days and spending all this time going through the depth chart. Pretty soon we'll be having real things to talk about. Once they get to fall camp, we'll actually hear from each position coach and all these players, and we'll have more to dissect about what's actually happening. Right now, it's a lot of just predicting what might happen because we see these battles here, but we have no idea what's going to happen at running back really until we start to talk to guys. But to round this out, was there any big question or anything you felt you got answered here in Arlington? And then I guess the second part of that is, what questions does it leave you with now that you head back home to Iowa in a couple of weeks? There's Big 12 or Iowa State's media day in Ames. Sometimes these media days almost create more questions when you get all done.
Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain a little bit. Probably, I'll almost say I feel a little bit better about what the receiver spot looks like than I maybe did. And I knew they'd find guys because you always can find guys and be able to plug them in. But the fact that, you know, Matt Campbell ran down so many of the guys, and Darren Wilson is a name that we talked about here, but really hadn't been mentioned a ton before this, and him kind of maybe sticking his nose in there is a good thing. And then the running back spot is maybe one of the biggest things I'll look for, other than the offensive line, just kind of how they progress and what they look like at the beginning of the season. But maybe kind of who starts to stand out at running back, what kinds of you know, conversations maybe Campbell has with them. And Tom Manning is that position coach, so obviously he has an experienced set of eyes on them. But yeah, it's what we've kind of hashed over a lot, but those are some of the, you know, like we mentioned, two of the biggest position battles and things to figure out that this team has right now.
Yeah, I don't leave with any necessarily major questions, but I'm just going to be really intrigued to see who emerges at running back. And I guess one big question I have that I just don't think I'm going to ever get an answer to until we see real games is how much different will the offense look with a full offseason in spring to design around Brock Purdy and all those things, and with the return of Tom Manning. We've kind of asked it in different ways, and they've talked about how they want to be more multiple with their tight ends, that obviously Manning brings that back for the Indianapolis Colts, and that it wasn't until week 4 or 5 that they were even implementing anything for Brock Purdy. So now they've had a full offseason, but we don't in actuality, we don't really know what that's actually going to look like. And we might not actually know until they get to Iowa and beyond, because they'll probably try to be as vanilla as possible as they go through those first weeks. But certainly some big questions still facing this team, and those will begin to get answered. Iowa State Media Day is August 1st. They begin practice, I think, the next day or shortly after. And then it's fall camp for 3 weeks leading up to the first week of action. But Dylan, thanks for joining me on this edition of the Cyclone Scoop. You can read Dylan at aimstrib.com, and you know, you have a podcast obviously also that you've had. I think you had Joel Klatt on, obviously Fox Sports analyst, at the Cyclone Slant, which you can probably find pretty much anywhere podcasts are available as well. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Cyclone Scoop. Next time I talk to you, I'll be back in Iowa, but thanks for listening, and football will be back here before you know it.